skies can't contain. Our week eight, not week, you know, 8 weeks in a row, or I should say my eighth message on Babylon, and just the different things that we've been going through in a, because we have Babel in Genesis chapter 6, and then we got ancient Babylon, and then you have Babylon again in Revelations chapter 17 and 18. So we're talking about the spirit of Babylon that always tries to come against the people of God, against the church of God. And nobody in the Bible stood up against it quite like Daniel. With all the odds against him, never having the odds on his side as far as numbers. Yet he didn't have a big contingency of people to go knock on the king's door and say, hey, we don't like how this is, you know, we've started a petition. We don't like how you're ruling. We don't like how you're responding to us. We don't like what you're doing. No, he couldn't do that, right? There was no petition that he could hand out, no group of people. Man, he was completely trusting in the power of God, the anointing of God in and around his life at that time. So I'm going to read this about that. We're going to stop and we're going to read about Daniel in the lion's den. Don't you love this account? I don't say story, I say account because this happened. Amen? Amen. So let me just begin as I'm just going to get right into Daniel chapter 6. In this little first section, I'm calling it the trap of accusation. The trap of accusation, if you wanted to take notes. And I know for me, when I preach, it can be impossible to take notes, and I'm sorry. I do my best. The trap of accusation, at least you know we're in Daniel chapter 6. Verse 1, it said, it pleased. Let me just say this, that if, last time I had spoken about this, and if you remember the message of the, when I last spoke about this a few weeks ago, it was called The Handwriting on the Wall. And that was I thought that was a powerful message, The Handwriting on the Wall. And right after that, I mean, Babylon, that ancient Babylon kingdom did not exist overnight. I think it was, what was the king at the time, Belshazzar, if I remember right, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar was killed. And immediately the Medes and the Persians took over. And ancient Babylon, as far as a power, it ceased to exist overnight. And so now we have King Darius over the Medes and Persians, who is now king over that Babylonian kingdom. He takes over with the Medes and Persians. And who would you know? Who's right in the thick of things? Didn't matter who was in charge. Didn't matter who was there, was Daniel. It was Daniel. So it starts out in chapter 6. It says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom to be in charge of the whole kingdom. Talking about the whole kingdom. And over them, three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one. So he's going to have a very important position, isn't he? And so that these satraps would be accountable to them. And that the king would not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. By the way, we could stop right there and talk about how you have an extraordinary spirit. Did you know that? Man, with the spirit of God in you, right? Amen. The power of God and the love of God in you. You have an extraordinary spirit. I hope you believe that. Amen. Because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king intended to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Man, this guy was going to, Daniel was going to become number two in all of the Medes and Persians empire because such an extraordinary spirit he was possessed with. Possessed with the power of God, the spirit of God. Possessed an extraordinary spirit. And then this, when he was going to be over the entire kingdom. Verse 4, then the commissioners and satraps began what? Began trying to find a ground of accusation. Tried to find a ground of accusation against Daniel regarding government affairs. But they could not they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption because he was trustworthy and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him regarding the law of his God." And so they spent these time, just think of all these individuals, these leaders, trying to find accusation against him. You know, that's interesting because we know that in the Bible, in Revelation 12, it says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And it said there that he's before God day and night accusing the brethren and the cistern. Is that how you say it? Is it brethren and cistern? Here in Chino? Can I say it that way? King James for sisters, cistern, plural? Okay. I'll have to look that up in the dictionary. The King James Dictionary. Revelation says Satan is the accuser of the brethren. You know, something, and it's not a downer at all, but something you will have to fight your whole life as a believer, as a leader, will be accusation. See, it's Satan's most powerful and used tool. Accusation. Accusation. On the other end, the biggest thing as a Christian you will have to be aware of is making sure that you're not the accuser. I won't spend much time here, but that you're not the accuser, that you're not accusing others. You know, we can use spirituality to pretend to know the motive of someone else's heart. If you've been around, when you get my age, which in the middle of my prime, at 56, you've been around for a while, so you have some seasoning, right? You've had some experiences. You've seen some things, right? Isn't there some advantage to getting a little bit older? There's got to be some advantage. I mean, I can't keep up with the young guys in basketball. I can't keep up with them in the track and field. But I hope that I have a little bit more wisdom, amen, that I can share with the younger men. Amen and amen. On the other end, the biggest thing. So we can use spirituality to pretend to know the motives of someone else's heart. We can easily be that person to judge someone else. Don't be that person that stirs up drama. Be that person that squelches drama, by the way. Much of drama is us thinking we know the motive of somebody else's heart. I've been there. I've done it. I have. See, this in the Word of God, it says, let an accusation be in the mouth of two or three witnesses. When I hear someone say, the Lord showed me, or I have this sixth sense, or I have this special discernment, I'm really careful. You know, my sister, we used to laugh about this. She used to say, Jesus is watching you, and so am I. You know, Satan, who is the father of all lies, is also the father of accusation, living in accusation. 2 Corinthians 12:20 says, for I'm afraid that persons, this is what Paul's coming to the Corinthians, and this will be his third visit. It says, 2 Corinthians 12:20, for I'm afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, selfishness, slanderers, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. Amen. Right in the middle of that, slanderers. So just understanding that when the enemy works, he is the accuser of the brother. You know how the enemy accuses us? It's always through people. Satan doesn't show up in your, he doesn't show up in your room and start putting accusation at you. Well, what does he do? He does it through other people. It can be people that are close to you. It can be people that you work with. It can be people on social media that can gossip and slander and stir up things that cause trouble. See, this is what Daniel was getting ready to face, this exact thing. What got this group of people together, they had such an excellent spirit that they became jealous of him. When you become jealous of somebody or of an individual, all of a sudden something creeps up where you're like, you know what, I think this is a pretense. I think that this isn't their real heart. I think this is a facade. And so this is this group of people with this excellent spirit that Daniel had. this group of individuals came together and said, we can't find anything to accuse him of, but we can accuse him in the way that he worships his God. And so what happens here, second point, the trap is laid. The trap is laid. Verse 6, then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, and they're getting ready to butter him up. King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners, now this is a big group of people, just understand this is a big group of people. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that someone who offers a prayer to any god or person besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, we're not talking about somebody just being snuffed out. We're not talking about somebody just being beheaded. We're not talking about your normal death. We're talking about something that brings fear into somebody's heart and mind. You're going to be thrown into the lion's den. Verse 8, now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it will not be changed. According to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Thereupon, King Darius signed the document that is the injunction. And like I said, talking about the odds being stacked against you, all the politicians, think of this, what Daniel was facing. Man, let me encourage you, regardless of what you might be facing in your life today, I like what Paul had said. It says, these things were written for examples to us. These things that you're reading today were written for examples to us so that you wouldn't become discouraged, so that you would not give in, that you would give up, or you think there's no hope. And so today, as we read an account that actually happened, this is an amazing story, but it wasn't written just so we could listen to it in Sunday school when we were a kid. But for you and I, we could see this today and say, the same God that is with Daniel, that was with Daniel, is with me. Hallelujah. That's good news. Now, O king, verse 8, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it will not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Thereupon, King Darius signed the document, that is the injunction. Why did all these leaders of the Medes and Persians come against Daniel? Flat out, it was Satan. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. This was the enemy coming against Daniel. Daniel's whole life, man, he was blessed under that Babylonian government. A new government comes in, and all of a sudden Satan says, man, I think this is maybe my chance. I could never get at Daniel under that Babylonian government system, but maybe now under the Medes and Persians, maybe now I can finally get rid of this Daniel. Maybe I can finally shut his mouth. Maybe I can finally squelch his impact in society. Maybe with this new government leader, I can finally get rid of that pest, Daniel. So the enemy laid a trap. Always sue people. If you're walking with Christ, pursuing him, worshiping him, focused on the kingdom of God, once again, Satan's biggest tool will always come as accusation and accusing you. Your past, your present, who you are in Christ. You know, I think of other people in the Bible, right? Job faced accusation, remember? David faced accusations over and over and over from King Saul. Moses faced accusation after accusation after accusation. Let me say it again. When you start pressing into God, pursuing God, the number one thing that's going to come against you is slander and accusation from other people. Accusing you and pretending to know somehow the motives of your heart. You're doing this ministry, whatever you're doing that of you, to be seen. Or you're doing this because you're trying to gather people under yourself. Let me say this. Is there times where things like that happen? Yes. But those are things that'll start vetting itself out in a group of people. That'll be seen. I'm talking about things that are said that really don't have any merit to it. Remember that Daniel had an excellent spirit in him, so it didn't he didn't have to do anything wrong for somebody to be accusing him. That's just what the enemy does. The enemy does. But you know, Daniel has to have a response, right? You and I, when the enemy comes against us with a roar of a lion, we'll talk about it. We have to be ready with an answer, right? The truth, the truth of God's word. Verse 10, it says, now when Daniel learned that the document was signed, he entered his house. He didn't run. Notice he didn't run. He didn't get a group of people together and say, man, we got to figure out what we're going to do here. Man, I got to figure out how we can work around this thing. I got to find a way to manipulate this and still keep my faith intact. No, that's not what Daniel did. Now, when Daniel learned that the document was signed, he entered his house, and in his roof chamber, he had windows open towards Jerusalem, towards the temple, towards the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, he was still God's child in the middle of his situation where he was completely outnumbered. Remembered all the councilmen, councilwomen, all the mayors, all the governors, everybody was against Daniel. Everybody was against Daniel. Amen. Now when Daniel learned of the document signed, he entered his house, went on the roof, opened towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees, what he did three times a day, praying and offering praise before his God, just as he had been doing previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel offering a prayer. And what was he doing? And imploring favor before his God. You know, in the middle of this trap laid for Daniel, he did not stop what he had always been done, walking in his faithfulness, trusting God, trusting God. Imagine that Daniel went back in his mind, he's saying, it doesn't matter who's king, it doesn't matter who's pressing against me, it doesn't matter who's whispering against me, it doesn't matter who's opposing me, it doesn't matter who's slandering against me. I know what you did when I first arrived here in Babylon and they wanted to kill all the wise men, and you gave me a dream, and I was able to tell Nebuchadnezzar not only the interpretation of his dream, but I was able to tell him what his dream was. Lord, I can imagine you saying, I know what you did with my three friends who were in the fiery furnace, how you delivered them. And so going through these things, I'm sure Daniel said, I have seen him deliver me, be with me, rescue me, encourage me, strengthen me, be with me in the past. It doesn't matter who's in charge now. God will not stop blessing my life. Hallelujah. So when he says imploring favor, he was saying, God, I know you're with me. I know that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, I thank you, God, that no matter what's facing me right now, thank you for your favor on my life. Do you know that when things come against you and oppose you, especially in your soul realm, we can all get kind of, you ever get stirred up? The number one is you start saying, thank you, Lord, for your favor on my life. Thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you're never going to leave me. You're never going to forsake me. Nothing has changed at all. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The same God that was with me when I was 17 is now with me now that he might be around 70 years of age. And the devil's saying, I think I got you this time. Imploring favor. Daniel was saying, I see the accusations, I hear the accusations, but Lord, you know my heart, and I'm asking for your continued favor on my life. Thank you, Jesus. Daniel knew what he was going to face, and he goes to the Lord in prayer, asking, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's continue on. Then they approached and spoke these people that were accusing Daniel. Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction Did you not sign an injunction that any person who offers a prayer to any god or person besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be thrown into the lion's den? The king replied, the statement is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. And this is where the trap is sprung, right? Then they responded and spoke before the king. Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you. Daniel, one of the Christians, Daniel, that person who follows that weird sect of modern-day Jesus Christ, is doing the opposite of what you said. Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps offering his prayer three times a day. He just kept doing what he does, kept worshiping the Lord, kept honoring him. Mind you, he knows what the penalty is for him to do this. He knows that they're laying a trap just for him. He knows that they're pursuing him. He knows that they're jealous of him. They know that he's going to be number two in command in all the Medes and Persians there, that whole society, and they couldn't stand the thought of him being in charge. The trap had been sprung. And then Daniel, then as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed, and he realized, oh my goodness. He realized what they had done now. Then as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed and set his mind on rescuing Daniel. Until sunset, he kept exerting himself to save him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, recognize, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Well, I forgot, Daniel had one friend, but the friend could not change his circumstances. He was a person of influence. He was a person that could help him. But in this circumstance, nobody could help him but God. Sometimes you can find yourself in that, amen? Where you feel like, who can help me here? You can try to turn to friends and people, and they love you and everything and have your best interest. But there's sometimes in things that only God can help you, amen? Only God can bring peace in your soul. Only God can bring deliverance, amen, in areas of your life. Only God can bless you, amen? Only God. So his friend, who was the king, could not help him. And so now here it is, Daniel in the lion's den. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in. Picture this in your mind. He's not going to change anything. He's not going to say, hold on. He didn't lift his hand and say, hold on, okay. I can justify for the next 30 days I won't pray. And God will understand. You win. For the next 30 days. King, right, this is only 30 days, right? I can do that. No, Daniel was not willing to step back at all. Man, he knows whose hand he was in. He knew who placed him where he was in the first place. He knew whose anointing was on his life. He knew where he had gotten his ability. He knew those spiritual gifts that he had in his life. Part of them was in interpreting dreams, came from God. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and thrown into the lion's den. Just that quick, boom, he's in the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, I love this, your God whom you continually serve will himself rescue you. Amen. His one friend wasn't even of the same faith. But knowing Daniel's character, knowing who he was, knowing what he was about, seeing his excellent spirit, he said, man, I don't know anything about your God, but I know one thing. When I look at you and see what God has done or is doing through your life, Daniel, I know that he can save you even from this lion's den. The character and strength of God, amen, in Daniel had an unbeliever saying this, declaring Your God, whom you continually serve, will himself rescue you. And I thank God that regardless of the struggle you could be in today, or you just came out of, or that you're going into, that God will rescue you from every struggle in Jesus' name. Daniel didn't lose his character. He didn't say, well, I can fudge a little bit. No, he says, I am resolute that I am going to trust God. Amen and amen. Verse 17, and a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, the ones that were out to get him, so that nothing would be changed regarding Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. He was a true friend of Daniel, wasn't he? Can you imagine the fear that Daniel faced? I mean, these are hungry, roaring lions. I mean, it just, these were lions that were prepared for eating humans. They were in there, they're hungry. They weren't there. They didn't feed them well and then said, hey, throw some individual. Now, these lions were roaring, they're hungry. Can you imagine the fear? You know, I think of the fear that a lion brings in the African plains, you know, just for a second. You know, a Bengal tiger is bigger and probably more powerful than a lion. But he's kind of stealthy. A tiger tries to kind of hide. A bear, I think of a Kodiak bear, it's bigger than a lion. But for most part, it kind of just does its own thing. It's not looking for trouble. But the lion on the African plain, it seems like it has an attitude. It's looking for trouble. It doesn't hide. It likes to come out and roar and say, hey, this is my territory. You're in my territory. Man, if you can hear me, you better run now. Love instilling fear. It's not stealthy. That lion's mane, the king, there's a reason why it's the king of the jungle. It goes out there saying, nothing here can take me. Nothing here can stand against me. Hear me roar. There may be animals that are more powerful, but nothing will bring the fear into an individual's life than being in. If you were in the African plain, what's the first thing you want to know? Where's the lions? Why are the doors open here? Why are there no doors? Are we going to be seeing lions? From how far are we going to be seeing lions? How close will the lions be to the vehicle? And once again, how come there's no doors on this vehicle? Why? It's because of the mannerism of a lion. That roar. There's other things I'd say that's more powerful, but it's that attitude of the lion. And so you think of the fear of a lion, it brings it. What it's saying is, let my roar paralyze you with fear. 1 Peter 5:7 in the Young's Literal Translation says, all your care having been cast upon him because he cares for you. Let me just say the first thing he says, cast all your cares upon him for he cares upon you. Right there, seems odd, but Daniel had to say, Lord, I'm casting all my cares upon you. I'm being thrown into a lion's den and there's nothing I can do. I can hear them. They're chomping at the bits. I'm trusting you, Lord. The last thing my friend says to me, he says, man, this God that I've seen operating in your life, I believe he can protect you. That's the last thing Daniel hears. Thank God. All your care having been cast upon him because he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:8, then it says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your opponent, the devil, as a roaring lion, doth walk about seeking whom he may swallow up. Whom resist steadfast in the what? In your faith. Steadfast in your faith. Right then, I imagine that Daniel, he's fearful. He's got nobody surrounding him. He didn't just come out of an awesome church service. Or maybe he did, I don't know. But he hears the last words, he gets encouragement. And then he's thrown to the lion's den. The thing that even during that time when he heard, hey, you can't worship or pray any other god, he remained vigilant. He remained sober, meaning he was focused. He wasn't letting things change his mental or emotional makeup. He wasn't saying, man, I just need to forget about this. I'm just going to hang out with the king and his group. I'm going to go to the club. No, what he was saying, man, is I'm going to keep resolute and sober in my heart and my mind as I trust God in this. Sometimes it's easier just to try to forget what we're facing. Sometimes it's easier just to run the other way. But sometimes there comes a time in your life when God says, no more running. I want you to trust me. I want you to quit running from that thing that has been roaring. I want you to face that. And I want you to allow me, God's saying, to give you the victory in that area. People will run from the enemy their whole life, not realize it. Not willing, not being so maybe devastated in soul and their mind or past failures that they feel like they can't face it. Man, you can face that. And God can and will destroy in that area of your life that roar of that lion. He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. I love this deliverance part. Let's continue. Then the king, verse 19 of chapter 6, and the king got up at dawn. You still with me out there? Hallelujah. Some of you awake. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I just got to know you're there. At least one or two of you. Then the king got up at dawn at the break of day and went in a hurry to the lion's den. Man, he made a beeline, didn't he? And when he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king began speaking and said, Daniel, servant of the living God. That's what he says. Servant of the living God. Has your God, whom you continually serve, been able to rescue you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king. O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me since I was found innocent before him. And also towards you, O king, I have committed no crime. Man. Then the king was very glad and gave orders for Daniel to be lifted up out of the den. So basically he was in a pit. So Daniel was lifted up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Isn't it God's faithfulness when we go through things? He says, I will rescue you and you will not suffer loss. I will be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You will not suffer loss if you will trust me. And I'll restore what the cankerworm and locust have eaten anyway. Just trust me for full fulfillment in your life. Trust me for leading and guiding you. Trust me to give the desires of your heart. Trusting him. In the middle of that, but you've got to quit listening to the roar of the lion, the enemy, Satan. Sometimes we'll listen to him and it becomes part of what we put on our cloak. Well, this is why I struggle with this and this and that, or this is why I'm at where I'm at. We don't realize that's actually the voice of a lion, the enemy, that finally gets us to give in, to give up, to lay down. Roll over like my dog when it wants its back, its stomach scratched, and submit to the roar of a lion, Satan. God doesn't want us submitting in any area of our life to the voice of the enemy. God's perfect love casts out all fear. It doesn't come overnight sometimes, saints. His perfect love cast out fear. And when I come to realize with that, when he says cast out fear, this is what it is for me. I don't hear you. That roar is getting further away in the African plain. Further and further and further away. Say, no, this is my territory. No, this is not your territory. No, this is my territory. As for me, my house will serve the Lord. No, the prosperity, the life, the blessing that God has given me belongs to me. Enemy, you're not welcome here anymore.
Amen.
I'm not listening to you. Then you realize, like, did somebody pull his teeth out? He can gum, he can roar, but he cannot hurt me. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for showing people, Lord, the areas of their lives where the enemy will continue to roar. It can be in an addiction where it says you'll never be free. Yeah, I will. In Jesus' name, I will be free. I'm always going to struggle in this area. I'm always going to feel inferior. No, I'm not. He is my life. He is my God. Amen. He's the one that is building me up in my most holy faith, right? He's the one that leads and guides me. And then you get, I can't hear you. The roar of the lion. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad that as you keep trusting him, those voices in those areas, they become more and more distant? Then you realize in your own life that the power Satan has had over you is the power of accusation, you accusing yourself, you beating yourself up, you telling yourself that you're not going to make it, because then you start agreeing with the lion, and next thing you know, you start crowing, not crowing, but roaring, just like the lion. He roars, you roar back with him. Yeah, you're right. He roars, yeah, I know. We don't realize, but that's exactly what we do. He wants us to mimic him, agree with his accusations, and then it leaves you right where you're at. Amen. This thing of Daniel was in, let me just continue a little bit. We got time. Thank you, Lord. Let me just say a few things here. Daniel prayed when the new injunction was put in place. No answer. No answer. Lord, I'm imploring you. Don't you see what's happening? No answer. Daniel prayed when he was being watched and accused, praying. No answer from God. Daniel knew he was going to be thrown into the lion's den. No answer. Daniel was in the lion's den, the pit, and here came the answer. God could have answered that at any time. Any time. It was when he was in that pit, on the same level, it seemed like, with the enemy, that God then answered that prayer. You know, it wasn't just, he didn't do that just so God said, hey, let me torment you, Daniel, and make you wait. It wasn't only that, but you know, it was for the whole world to see and see the glory and the power of God. When Darius said, man, your God's going to deliver you, God's saying, you bet I am. It's not going to be just words. You bet I am. You know, but there can be a pit a person can be in. Let me just say that. Daniel was in such a pit. Jeremiah was in such a pit. He was dropped into a well. The prophet Jeremiah, he was dropped into a well where there was deep mud. He was sinking. He was sinking. And it said he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord delivered him out of that. He was another individual that had very few people on his side. Very few people encouraging him. Very few people believed anything at that time that Jeremiah was prophesying, which was the coming of the Babylonians, by the way. Part of it. I like what Paul, I'm going to read a few more scriptures here. Hang with me. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians, this is Paul, just what he's faced before. A couple things, because I'm going to bring Paul into it. 2 Corinthians 2, 8 and 10 says, for we do not want you to be unaware. He's talking to the Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction which occurred in Asia. That we were burdened excessively, beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who rescued us from so great a danger of death and will rescue us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will deliver us. So regardless, Paul was saying, hey, I was in a situation that seemed like, man, unless he helps me, I cannot get out. And what did he say? God pulled us out of that situation. You know, there'll be times in your life that might be a situation you feel like I can't get out of. During that time, continue to worship God. Continue to pursue him. Don't turn your back. Continue to draw close to him and worshiping him and honoring him and praising him regardless of what you're facing, regardless of what's coming against you. You may be in a thing where you've kind of cycled. You feel like you keep coming back again. You know what I'm talking about? You'll try, then you'll fall out. You'll try, and it'll just keep going awry. Let me encourage you this. I did that for decades in many areas of my life. But until I realized his love and his mercy and his grace for my life, I just kept going around the mountain as she comes. You know that song? I just wave every time I went by. I'll see you again, probably in a year or whatever the case was. But when I realized that he was, from my heart, that he was for me and not against me, when I realized in Deuteronomy 28 that the blessings were for me, it changed my whole life. The truth of the Word of God then began to bring me out of those pits of despair because I simply believed the truth, and God began, his power began to be displayed in my life. When people begin to pray for me, I was actually listening what they were saying now. When I realized that when I had a bad day, I used to, instead of shunning God, I would hear this: his mercies are new every morning. Amen. And then I love this. This works. You might be saying, you sure that story's for us, Chad, that account? Well, let's see what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4. 16 through 18. At my first defense, no one supported me. Listen to Paul here. But all deserted me. Here's somebody who was alone. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. These accounts that we read of in the book of Daniel are 100% relative and for you and I today. It might be more, you may not be in an actual lion's den, but one of the enemies coming against you, you are actually. He's trying to take you out, right? Amen. Then the Lord will rescue me from, this is what I love, this Paul says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. Amen. And will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever and amen. Let me ask you this morning, what pit might you need prayer for? Or what pit do you know a brother or sister in Christ may be in that you can be a blessing to them? That you can be aware of when people are facing things? I got to be careful. Sometimes I can get busy in my day-to-day job and just get focused on that and without even realizing it, become a little callous towards other people. You ever been there? It's not my intention. I'll get busy and everything and don't realize the pits that other people find themselves in, where they've been an area where the enemy's been lying to them for who knows how long. They're in a pit. They don't realize that the power they have in Jesus Christ, maybe they know Christ and the truth will set them free. Amen. About God's power in their life. Or somebody who doesn't know them and they live in a pit of despair. Preaching the gospel to them and bringing them out of that pit. Psalms 40, that chapter is about David saying, I was in a pit. I was in mire and clay. And it says, he took me out of that pit and he set my feet upon a rock. And we know the rock is Jesus Christ. If you read that whole chapter, it is talking about David having a revelation of the coming Messiah as he was dealing with guilt and shame of things that he had done. And he was wondering, why are the things that I'm doing? I'm giving the sacrifices, I'm doing all these things, and I can't get rid of this guilty conscience. And the Lord said, I want me to show you what's coming in the future that will wash every sin away, will wash all the guilt and pain away by the finished work of the cross. Amen and amen. Like Darius said to Daniel, he's saying to you, your God, whom you continually serve, will himself rescue you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Then I love this. This is our favorite part of the chapter. So I may finish this. The king then gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they threw them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den. Yikes. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. All, you know, in today's world, what that means is God will always vindicate you. When you follow him and trust him and walk in humility, he'll always take care of your reputation. He'll always make a way for you. Those things in the past, those accusations from the enemy, or they come through people, those things will die off in time when you just keep focusing on him. When you keep focusing on him. When we keep focusing on him. Amen. As the worship team comes, can you stand with me? You love him this morning? Let me say this as you might be here this morning. There might be an areas in your life where the enemy just keeps roaring. By the way, there's a line of the tribe of Judah. Jesus took our chains, broke them, and freed us.
Amen.
Jesus is the true lion. Amen. Jesus. Everything that Satan has is a counterfeit to what God has for us. Did you know that? This is what I've come to realize is when the enemy who roars, is I come to realize he loves me, that he paid the price on the cross of Calvary. He's washed all my sins away, every one of them. I declare to him, I just mimic what the Word of God says. Repentance, turning the other way. And I just start declaring the truth of God's Word to my life. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'll begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, praying the will of God, praying in the Holy Spirit. Man, this is life or death. The enemy wants to take people out. And as I begin to declare his truths over my life, and I'm around other people who understand the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, I can't hear his voice anymore. The roar begins to quiet down. And he lifts me up out of that pit. If you have a pit, we're just going to pray. If you have a pit that you want the Lord to, that you just need to be brought out of, can you lift your hand and say, Lord, I just want to be brought out of that pit. Amen. Me too. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for the power of the Word of God in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for areas that your Holy Spirit pinpoints that we recognize where the enemy has been shouting in our ears, shouting in our soul. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for breaking those things right now, those lies being broken in Jesus' name and replaced with the truth of the love of God and the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. You might be hearing the voice of the enemy saying, you're never going to be healed. I right now, I bind that lying voice of the enemy in Jesus' name, and we declare healing over your people, Lord Jesus. We thank you that by your stripes we are healed. Lord, I thank you in Isaiah 53 says that you carried your sickness for me. So we declare healing over your people right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that those things that might be in our past that keep haunting us, the roar of the enemy that keep haunting us, Lord, I thank you the Word of God says that as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. And we bind and command that voice to shut its mouth right now in Jesus' name. We declare that, Father God, over our lives and over your people's lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the revelation of the truth of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for a revelation of the truth of God in areas of our lives. Man, if you're dealing with addiction, and you've tried everything, you know what I find? There was an area when I was younger. I love smoking cigarettes. I know it's awful, but I just loved it. It calmed me, and I couldn't quit it for nothing. Well, it's hard to quit something you don't want to quit. And I just started saying, Lord, thank you for giving me a hate for that. Thank you for setting me free. And then I said this, because I tried quitting millions of times. Lord, give me a strategy to drop this. Thank you for giving me a strategy to lay this down. There's no condemnation. I just got to the point for my life, I said, I don't want anything that's got a hook on me.
That's right. Controls you.
That's trying to hold me back. And I just, as I began to pray that and seek the Lord, it's the Lord that gave me the ability, the strategy to drop that. It doesn't have to be just smoke. It can be many things. It could be many things where you start saying, Lord, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Ask Him. Ask Him. Ask Him for that victory. He's the one. You know, it's funny that during that time, all my kids and family would just be on me about quitting. But it had to be me. Finally, I said, Lord, I want everything you have for me. I don't want anything trying to hold me back. When that finally gripped my heart, that's when I was able to drop, let that go, and not go back to it, and not be crazy. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you give different things. You'll give things up in your own strength, but that issue is still there in the soul realm. And after that, God's healing in my soul through His Holy Spirit, through the power of the Word of God. There'd be times as I began to grow, as I was caught in legalism for so long, I'd wake up and say, I'm not struggling with that anymore. And couldn't tell you how or when it broke off my life. His truth, saints. His power. His victory. His ability. His anointing. Amen. His purpose. In today's world, in 2023. Father, we thank you for that. We love you. We praise you. We exalt you, Father God. We thank you for the family of God in Jesus' name. If you still need any prayer, if you want anybody to agree with you in prayer when we close, please come up. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you. If you need prayer, anybody just to agree with you in anything, need prayer. Father, we thank you for your prayer. We thank you for your presence this morning. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your love. We thank you for blessing the best day of the week, Monday tomorrow, Father God. We thank you for Mondays in Jesus' name. Thank you for your blessing on us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.